Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the first canto, chapter 13. This is when Dhritarashtra leaves home. We're on text number 8. So today's class is entitled Chaya, which actually means protection. So actually shelter is described in so many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we can mention so many places. Especially in this verse, it's brought up, and in this chapter, it's very much brought up. So we'll begin to learn about this chaya, protection. Actually, chapters 13 that we're on, 14 and 15, they prepare us for hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So let's get right into it here. Yudhisthira. Uvacha. Yudhisthira uvacha. Api. Smaranta. No. Yusmat. Api smaranta no yusmat. Paksha. Chaya. Samedhitan. Paksachaya sameditan. Vipad. Ganad. Visagnadir. Vipad ganad visagnadir. Mochita. Yat. Samatkrita. Mochita yat samatrika. Yudhisthira uvacha. Api smaranta no yusmat. Paksachaya sameditan. Vipadganad visagnyadir. Mochita yat samakrika. Yudhisthira uvacha. Api smaranta no yusmat. Pakshachaya sameditan. Vipadganar visagnyadir. Mochita yat samat krika. Yudhisthira uvacha.
Yudhisthira vācha.
Vaishnavis.
Hiravacha. Bismaranta nayusmat. Chaya sameditam. Nalasayate. Mojitaya samadita. Yudhisthira vacha
asmisana yujasma
vachataya samadita
yudhisthira vacha
Abhismaranta no yusmat. Taksachaya sameditan. Vipakanad visagnadir. Mochitaya smatrikaha.
Yudhisthira
uvacha.
Maharaj Yudhisthira said. Api. Whether. Smaranta. You remember? Na. Us. Yusmat. From you. Paksha. Partiality toward us like the wings of a bird. Chaya. Protection. Sameditan. We who were brought up by you. Vipatganat. From various types of calamities. Visha. By administration of poison. Agniadeya. By setting on fire. Mochitaha. Released from. Yat. What you have done. Sa. Along with. Matkritka. Our mother. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, My uncle, do you remember how you always protected us, along with our mother, from all sorts of calamities? Your partiality, like the wings of a bird, saved us from the poisoning and arson. Please repeat. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, My uncle, do you remember how you always protected us, along with our mother, from all sorts of calamities? Your partiality, like the wings of a bird, saved us from poisoning and arson. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Due to Pandu's death at an early age, his minor children and widow were the object of special care by all the elderly members of the family, especially Bhishmadev and Mahatma Vidura. Vidura was more or less partial to the Pandavas due to their political position, although Dhritarashtra was equally careful for the minor children of Maharaj Pandu. He was one of the intriguing parties who wanted to wash away the descendants of Pandu and replace them by raising his own sons to become the rulers of the kingdom. Mahatma Vidura could follow this intrigue of Dhritarashtra and company, and therefore, even though he was a faithful servitor of his eldest brother, Dhritarashtra, he did not like his political ambition for the sake of his own sons. He was therefore very careful about the protection of the Pandavas and their widowed mother. Thus he was, so to speak, partial to the Pandavas, preferring them to the sons of Dhritarashtra, although he was equally affectionate to both parties in his ordinary eyes. He was equally affectionate to both the camps of nephews, in the sense that he always chastised Duryodhana for his intriguing policy against his cousins. He always criticized his elder brother for his policy of encouragement to his sons. And at the same time, he was always alert in giving special protection to the Pandavas. All these different activities of Vidura within the palace politics made him well known as partial to the Pandavas. Maharaj Yudhisthira has referred to the past history of Vidura before his going away from home for a prolonged pilgrim's journey. Maharaj Yudhisthira reminded him that he was both kind and partial to his grown-up nephews, even after the battle of Kurukshetra, a great family disaster. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, Dhritarashtra's policy was peaceful annihilation of his nephews, and therefore he ordered Purochana to build a house of lac at Varnavata. And when the building was finished, Dhritarashtra desired that his brother's family live there for some time. When the Pandavas were going there, in the presence of all the members of the royal family, Vidura tactfully gave instructions to the Pandavas about the future plan of Dhritarashtra. This is specifically described in the Mahabharata, Adi Parva 133. He indirectly hinted, quote, "A weapon not made of steel or any other material element can be more than sharp enough to kill an enemy, and he who knows this is never killed." Unquote. That is to say, he hinted that the party of the Pandavas was being sent to Varnavata to be killed, and thus he warned Yudhisthira to be very careful in their new residential palace. He also gave indications of fire and said that fire cannot extinguish the soul, but can annihilate the material body. But one who protects the soul can live. Kunti could not follow such indirect conversations between Maharaj Yudhisthira and Vidura. And thus, when she inquired from her son about the purport of the conversation, Yudhisthira replied that from the talks of Vidura, it was understood that there was a hint of fire in the house where they were proceeding. Later on, Vidura came in disguise to the Pandavas and informed them that the housekeeper was going to set fire to the house on the 14th night of the waning moon. It was an intrigue of Dhritarashtra that the Pandavas might die altogether with their mother. And by Vidura's warning, the Pandavas escaped through a tunnel underneath the earth, so that their escape was also unknown to Dhritarashtra. So much so that after setting the fire, the Kauravas were so certain of the death of the Pandavas that Dhritarashtra performed the last rites of the death with great cheerfulness. And during the mourning period, all the members of the palace became overwhelmed with lamentation. But Vidura did not become so, because of his knowledge that the Pandavas were alive somewhere. There are many such instances of calamities, and in each of them, Vidura gave protection to the Pandavas on one hand, and on the other hand, he tried to restrain his brother Dhritarashtra from such intriguing policies. Therefore, he was always partial to the Pandavas, just as a bird protects its eggs by its wing. So, Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitamina Tasmaya Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadati Swabhadantika Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Tubhyascha Kripasindhu Bhavecha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, "My uncle, do you remember how you always protected us, along with our mother, from all sorts of calamities? Your partiality, like the wings of a bird, saved us from poisoning and arson. So this is a very nice verse. And here we're talking about Vidura. They were so happy to see him. They greeted him so nicely according to Vedic culture and etiquette. But who is Vidura? What's his other personality? We could see here. Yamaraj. He's actually a Mahajan, but as an administrative demigod, as Yamaraj, he was the judge and would administer punishment or reward. But, you know, with all this administration and I guess you could say kind of a headache, he wanted to preach. He had this desire. And how he became Vidura is that he was cursed by Manduka Muni. And what happened is this Muni was taken into custody by mistake because some dacoits and thieves, they took shelter in his hermitage. And so they captured this Manduka Muni also because they thought, well, he was hiding them. So he was also condemned to die with a lance, like a spear. And he became so disturbed that after this incident, actually they found out that he was innocent, so they let him go, but he got a big scare. So Manduka Muni went to Yamaraj and complained in anger and said, why did this happen to me? And then, because Yamaraj, he can actually see like past, present, future. It's almost like the super soul. He can see what's going on. So he said, yeah, when you were very small, you pierced a bug with the sharp grass or like a straw. And he said, because of that, you had to experience this. And he really chastised him and said, you have the mentality of a sudra. Actually, it's a law in the Vedas that until you're 12 years old, you don't have to suffer any karma. You see, the parents suffer the karma. So he said, because of that, I curse you to become a sudra. So therefore, he became Vidura. But still, as Vidura, he was a Brahmin. He was very knowledgeable. He was Mahajan, and he was there to protect the Pandavas. So this is the protection. So we see also, we're going to read more about protection throughout the Bhagavatam. And can anybody remember any place where it talks about protection in the Bhagavatam? A couple of places? Yes, Prabhu?
Well, there are many.
Yeah, I think. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Gajendra, that's a good one. Anyone else? Know anybody? Anything? Yes, Maharaj. So that's Bart Maharaj, how he's protected from the dacoits. The hint anybody get from the picture here? Yeah, so the Ajumil, how we're protected by the holy names. This is when Yamaraj actually had to learn that his Yamadutas came to take the sinful Ajumil, you know, to hell. But then he chanted, Narayan, Narayan. And the Vishnu Dutas came and protected him. So this is protection. So we have this great Mahatma Vidura. Prabhupada says he's such a great devotee and we should try to follow in his footsteps for self-realization. So here, before the battle and before Vidura went on pilgrimage. We'll find out why. That this Vidura was so honest, and he was a Brahmana, and he was asked by the king, Dhritarashtra, you know, what do you think? You know, what should I do here? What's the situation? And, you know, we have the Pandavas, we have these people here, my sons, this and that. And so he just truthfully explained the situation. He told him, don't be influenced by Duryodhana. His offense personified. You know, he's actually envious of the Pandavas, and even he's envious of Krishna. So he's telling them right in front of, and actually Duryodhana was right there. Everybody was there, he's saying. So this is how truthful he was. So he said, just get rid of him. And what happens? You know, Duryodhana retaliated and he called Vidura, you're just a son of a maidservant. You're an ingrate who dare to criticize the people that maintain you. Just kick him out with nothing but his breath. So that's when Vidura left, just put his bow on the door and took off. Because he was actually, you know, the words of Duryodhana actually pierced his heart. You know, after all, he was part of the royal family. And, you know, he was very respected. It's said that more painful than any lie is the truth spoken with bad intent. And this is what Duryodhana did. What he said was true about Vidura. He was the son of a maidservant. You know, it's a whole story how that happened, but we won't go into that. But, you know, he said it with bad intent. So that's more painful than just telling lies about somebody or gossip or something. So he left. And what did he do? He took it as Krishna's mercy. And he saw it as an opportunity to go on pilgrimage for 30 years. And he became a humble beggar mendicant. And nobody recognized him. And who's his only shelter was Krishna. And during the time that he was gone, it's about 30 years he was gone. The Kurukshetra War took place. And actually Krishna had left the planet. And it's interesting to note that actually why didn't Vidura, he could have just went to go see Krishna in Dwarka. Why did he have to go on pilgrimage every other places? Because he was so humble that he thought himself contaminated by non-devotee association of Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra. And he thought, I need to get purified first. But Krishna had left before he had a chance to see Krishna. But actually, he was able to meet Uddhava. And here we see Krishna explaining to Uddhava the Uddhava Gita, which we'll hear about in the 11th and 12th cantos. And Uddhava happened to be on his way to Bhadrak Ashram to fulfill Krishna's last wish. And Vidura wanted to take instructions from Uddhava. But Uddhava, he humbly declined. He said that actually, you should go to Maitreya, because Maitreya was there when I last talked to Krishna right before he left. So he very humbly declined because Maitreya was actually senior to him. So even though Uddhava was like very advanced, he was like the disciple of Brihaspati and he was very dear to Lord Krishna, still out of humility, he understood the etiquette that actually Vidura should go to Maitreya and hear from him. So here's when he found out that actually Krishna had left the planet. So he told him, please take instructions from Vidura. And we'll see in this chapter, even though Vidura knew that Krishna had left, he didn't tell the Pandavas. Because it said that distress comes of its own accord. There is no need for propaganda. So he knew that the Pandavas would eventually find out, you know, when the time was right. So this is an important point, actually, how we take pleasure in propagation and propaganding, you know, the misery of others. We enjoy gossip, especially about those who are having trouble. So this is a very important point that we'll see how Vidura was very conscientious and why make more grief to the Pandavas. You know, they'll find out in due time. But his main purpose, he wanted to come there to see Dhritarashtra and help him. So here we see Vidura is taking instructions from Maitreya. And that's all the third and fourth cantos, which we'll hear. And Prabhupada says there that devotees are verily holy places personified. So we want to speak, we want to hear them speak so that they may give us our life back. And this is why he came to Dhritarashtra to actually help him. That was the main reason to rescue Dhritarashtra from his dangerous and precarious position. So here we see this is Dhritarashtra. He was materially blind and actually spiritually blind. And then king, we could say king. I mean, he was rightfully the king, but because he was blind, he wasn't qualified. So therefore, he wanted his sons to become the king. And he tried, as we heard in the purport, that he tried to quietly just eliminate the Pandavas. So we see here he's inquiring from Sanjaya about his sons, you know, what's happening in the battle, and he's hoping that his sons will be victorious. But Vidura, with his strong words, says, "O king," he calls him a king again, even though he knows he's not a king, but yet he feels like he should be the king. So he said, "Fear has overcome you. Get out of here. Now, imperceptible time sneaks up like a snake." So it's very, you don't know, but gradually we see we're all getting older and older, but it's very slow, but we think we're not going to die. So Prabhupada mentions how actually we all think we're like kings, we're an illusion, but actually how could you be a king when you're being ruled at every moment, you're being controlled? So he goes on to tell him, "Cruel death is stalking and cannot be remedied by anyone. Krishna comes as time, which affects everyone and everything in the material world. We have to surrender our dear life, and everything that we have has to be surrendered to Krishna." And he tells him that actually we're all alone and we're all uncared for in this material world. He says, "Your brothers, all your sons are all dead, and you're now living as an invalid in the house of another. Your teeth are loose. Your liver is defective. You have mucus. And when you see the frailty of your body, then what happens? You become fearful. Because we know the devastating time is going to destroy us." And now he really gets heavy with Dhritarashtra. He says, "You're living like a dog, eating remnants of food given by Bhima." So this is really a cut. And, to hear this, there's that saying, with friends like this, you don't need enemies, right? But actually, Vidura's cutting words, they're to wake him up. And he tells him, "You're taking shelter of the family and material facilities, closing your eyes to the time factor." So he's already blind in material and spiritual, but still he's closing his eyes to the time factor. "In illusion, you're thinking you can get protection and shelter by material family and facilities. Understand the falsity and misery of the material world. Just depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead who's in the heart." He's telling him, "We don't belong here. There's a better place waiting for us." So this is such a cut to tell him that you're being fed remnants of food by Bhima. Because Bhima is the one that killed all his 100 sons. How did he kill them? He ripped out each one of their hearts and he drank their blood. He was so heavy in this battlefield. And then after the war, they went to make amends to Dhritarashtra. They came and, they hugged him and, tried to approach him. But they told Bhima, "Don't approach Dhritarashtra. Don't approach him because he's so angry because you know what he did to his sons." So they said, "Okay, just put an iron statue in front of him and act like a Jew." So he did. They put the iron statue. And what did Dhritarashtra do? He just squeezed it and pulverized it just to powder. He was so angry. So to hear these words that you're being fed scraps of food by Bhima, it just like really cut to his, to his heart. So he told him, "Just leave home. Depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And there's a nice verse in text number 27 in this chapter. I like to read that. It's very nice. He said, "He is certainly a first-class man who awakens and understands, either by himself or from others, the falsity and misery of this material world, and thus leaves home and depends fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead residing within his heart." So this purport is so nice. I like to read some of it. Srila Prabhupada talks about three transcendentalists, and those who are not being disturbed by family association, those in the renounced order of life, frustrated out of sentiment. And the third one is a sincere devotee who awakens God consciousness by hearing and chanting and leaves home depending completely on the Supreme Personality Godhead. So Prabhupada explains further. The idea is that the renounced order of life, after a frustrated life of sentiment in the material world, may be the stepping stone on the path of self-realization. But real perfection of the path of liberation is attained when one is practiced to depend fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lives in everyone's heart as Paramatma. One may live in the darkest jungle alone, out of home, but a steadfast devotee knows very well that he is not alone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is within him, and he can protect his sincere devotee in any awkward circumstance. One should therefore practice devotional service at home, hearing and chanting the holy name, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, etc., in association with pure devotees. And this practice will help one awaken God consciousness in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. One who desires material benefit by such devotional activities can never depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he sits in everyone's heart. Nor does the Lord give any direction to persons who worship him for material gain. Such materialistic devotees may be blessed by the Lord with material benefits, but they cannot reach the stage of first-class human being, as above mentioned. There are many examples of such sincere devotees in the history of the world, especially in India, and they are our guides on the path of self-realization. Mahatma Vidura is one such great devotee of the Lord, and we should all try to follow in his footsteps for self-realization. So this is, we get protection from the devotees. We understand they give us a realization that Krishna is in the heart, and we should fully depend on him. So that's surrender. That's the life of a devotee. And what is it called? It's called saranagati. It means return to our shelter. We're returning to our real shelter, which is Krishna. And there's very nice prayers and songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur called saranagati. So I recommend everybody read those. It's so nice. So we just see by the association of a pure devotee, even for a moment, it's enough to pull us out of this illusion. And this is what Vidura did. And by the power of his words, he pulled Dhritarashtra out. And he's telling him, act now. My words are very powerful and they're protecting you. But if you don't act now, Kali Yuga personified is going to affect you and you'll forget everything. So this is what happens when Krishna leaves. Kali comes in and starts to take over. And we'll see how in this mature world, the conditioned souls, they become degraded by material association, especially in Kali Yuga. And all their good qualities, they actually deteriorate to the lowest standard. And we'll see this is described in the 12th canto in detail. So if you act in ignorance, then you become mad. But if you act in goodness, then you become happy. So Vidura wanted to become purified from the association of non-devotees, and that's why he went on this pilgrimage. And this association is so important. We see in the Nectar of Instruction, there's the first three verses are the guidelines for the sadhaka. That's for the devotee practicing sadhana bhakti. And it mentions there twice in those three verses that we have to avoid materialistic association. This jhana sangha and this sangha tyag. Avoid this. So we see that even Bhishma became contaminated by this materialistic association. He was a great, powerful personality. And he became contaminated by eating the grains of the Kurus. And that's why he did nothing when Draupadi was being stripped. He just stood there. And there's a story, even Srila Prabhupada, one time some devotees left a Time magazine on his desk. So Tamal Krishnamurti one time wanted to see what Prabhupada was doing, and he looked in there and he saw Prabhupada's reading Time magazine. And so sometime later, the bell rings. Prabhupada calls him in and said, he said, look, this Time magazine, they write it in such a way that you can't put it down. It's contaminating my consciousness. Take it away. So even Srila Prabhupada said, and that's why Prabhupada created ISKCON, to give us spiritual association, this sadhu sangha. Because we're social beings by nature, and if we associate with advanced devotees, then our consciousness is more deeply affected. If you associate with non-devotees, your consciousness is also affected. So this materialistic association is insidious. It's everywhere. Even if you go home and you lock your door, It's there. It enters Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga enters through its technology, isn't it? And you know what that means. So these clouds of ignorance, they're temporary, but the intelligent, they're more concerned with this eternal sky and all its variegatedness. So that's what Vidura came to enlighten. And here we see Vidura was awakened. He actually awakened his inner vision. And he enthusiastically and cheerfully, he left home for a better life on the level of the soul, not the painful body. So this is what he did. He practiced the Astanga Yoga system. It's going to be described in this chapter. And what happened is he just amalgamated all these material elements back into their source. And he was just left with the soul. And then he just, you know, got rid of his material body. And here his wife, a chaste wife, she actually entered the fire also. Because in those days, the fire of separation was more painful than actual fire. But in modern times, they were forcing the wives to enter the fire, even though they didn't have that sentiment. They're like, okay, your husband entered the fire, now you have to go. No, no, no. So now it's a law. Srila Prabhupada said, actually, it's good that they have that law that you can't force them to do it. But in those days, that sentiment was very deep. And what was the cause? Just to satisfy the Lord. Simply by our occupational duty, if we satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anything practically, if we do it for Krishna, then it's good. And it benefits everybody. So I'll take a little break from all that philosophy. Yes? Yeah.
Burning up his body through the fire of yoga, and his wife Dandari, she's looking on.
Yeah, that's what I just explained.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no problem. But getting to the next one, we're going to talk about, Prabhupada mentions in the purport how Vidura protected them from poison and fire. So this is a pastime of Bhima. And I was wondering how is it that Vidura protected them, because Bhima was there, the Pandavas weren't there, but actually it was when Kunti was so fearful when they had this plot. They said, hey, let's go to the river and let's go play some sports. And they hated Bhima because Bhima, all 100 sons, he would just grab them and throw them, throw them around. They hated him, so they wanted to get rid of him first because they thought he would be a detriment to them becoming the king. So they planned that, okay, what we're going to do is give Bhima like a poison to poison 100 men. So they had all these cakes and pies and nice creams and drinks and all kinds of goodies. And they put before Bhima, and Bhima just like gulped it down, you know. But it didn't even affect him until he was playing all day with them and throwing him in the water and doing all this stuff. But in the evening, it actually affected him. And he actually went to sleep. And they took the opportunity to tie him up and throw him in the river in the Ganges. And then what happened, he actually got into the mystical currents that went to Vasuki, the underground, the demigod of the serpents. Yeah, and then they followed him, and the snake saw Bhima, and they started just to bite him, and bite him and bite him. And yeah, and then it was in Patala, he says. And then actually that venom was the remedy for the poison. So Bhima came back to consciousness. And then he started to kill the snakes and kill them. And then they ran away and they went to their master. And then they came back and they came up to Bhima. And one of Bhima's, one of the Vasuki's personalities was actually a relative of Kunti, I think. And he recognized Bhima. And they said, oh, how can we help him? Let's give him some jewels and stuff. And he said, no, I think it's better to help him. Let's give him some rasa. So this special rasa, it's made from herbs, celestial herbs. And if you drink that, it makes you very powerful. Just one pot can make you as strong as 1,000 elephants. So they put like 8 huge pots in from Bhima, and he just gulped each one down with one gulp. And then, it's like he fell asleep for like 8 days, just absorbing all those celestial herbs. And what happened is he actually became as strong as 10,000 elephants. So this is how he became very strong. But when he was gone, Kunti was freaking out because she thought, that what happened to my son? He might be dead. So she approached Vidura And Viradura pacified her there and said that actually, you know, the sages have said that your sons will become rulers. So whatever they say is not going to, you know, is going to happen. So don't worry, he'll be protected. So he pacified her in that way. So this is that story there. And then Bhima came and told them what happened, and they're all happy to see him. And they said, don't tell anybody, just keep quiet. So then that's how he got his strength. And then the next one mentioned in the purport here is that the Pandavas are sent away to this special town that was mentioned in the purport, because they were having, it's called Varanavata, they were having a special Lord Shiva ceremony or something, and they wanted the Pandavas to go. But they were very suspicious, because why did they send them and not the crews, you know, Duryodhana and the rest. But so Yudhishthira is very intelligent, so he just thought, you know, there's some plant, we better be careful. So this is what happened, is that they came to they built this palace for them, and they made it all of lac, ghee, all kinds of oils that are flammable. They put tons of pots of ghee around everywhere, you know, just to bring them and burn them alive. So this is when, as mentioned in the purport, that Vidura told Yudhishthira in this special language. They said it was like a Yavana language, which was, you know, no one could understand, because Yudhishthira knew many, many languages, and he understood exactly what he was saying. So that's when he told his mother what he had said. So by his mercy, they actually were saved, you know, in this particular thing. So they actually built a tunnel. Vidura sent a miner to build a tunnel for them to escape. And this is how they were saved in that particular way. So anyway, and then during that time when they escaped, this is when he used his power to kill this great Rakshasa. He's very powerful. And his sister wanted to married Bhima, and then they had a Rakshasa son who helped in the war. What was his name? Gotakesha. So this is what happened. So anyway, towards the end of the chapter, Narada Muni enters the scene. And this is Narada Muni talking to King Parchinibarhi. But just imagine it's Yudhishthira. He comes and talks to Yudhishthira, as he does, and enlightened him. And Yudhishthira found out that Vidura had left, and so did the king, Dhritarashtra, who they called. He had left, and he was very, very much in anxiety, and so he didn't know what to do. So actually Narada Muni appeared in the scene, and he actually helped Yudhishthira also elevate his consciousness, because Yudhishthira thought that I'm the protector and people are dependent on me. And this is where Narada Muni enlightened him and said, actually, you're an illusion. Krishna is the only protector. You actually yourself are under the jaws of the snake of death. So he said, give up this anxiety and just surrender to Krishna. And then it goes on and on. But time is running out, so we'll stop there. See if there's any comments or questions. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, Vidura, after he took his brother, Dhritarashtra, and his wife to attain salvation, you know, to the forest, and he actually went on pilgrimage again. And I don't know if it describes, does anybody know if it describes what happens to him? He eventually goes back to Godhead, I'm sure. But he probably gets his post. He was cursed for a certain amount of time to be a Sudra. And then he went back to his post as Yamaraj. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. There was another personality, I forget his name. What's his name? Aryama? Yeah, Aryama. He was taking charge. So he took a break, which is nice. Yes?
How is it possible that people who are so close to Krishna, people can be so close to Krishna and yet be so far away? Both Dhritarashtra and his wife Gandhari, in two different instances, acknowledged that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhritarashtra, when he was approached and they were asked for some land, the Pandavas of Kshatriyas, give us some land.
Yeah.
And maybe it was another occasion, but he said, I know that Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but anyway, I can't help it. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. And Gaudari, when after her plan was foiled, you know, when Duryodhana put the gamsha or loincloth around himself to, you know, to so he wouldn't be indecent like that, and he wasn't able to become invulnerable. And Gandhari asked, why did you do that? And said, Krishna. And she said, oh, Krishna, now the whole thing is ruined. Yeah. So they both knew that Krishna is the Supreme Person of God. And over above that, Bhishma Dev, he's one of the Mahajans, yet he made the mistake of siding with the Kauravas. So how is it possible? Okay. How is it possible that people that so understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and even on top of that are, in the case of Bhishma, have a great devotee, and yet they can go off like that?
Even Dhritarashtra said himself, even though I know, you know, this, still I'm so attached to my sons. And this is the miracle of Maya. Maya is so powerful that even great personalities, we're reading in the fourth canto, is it? Where a great personality like Daksha can become... It's a miracle that he became illusioned to think that he was greater than Lord Shiva. And even, you know, try to, you know, kick him out, whatever. He thought he was, because he was married to his daughter, therefore I'm his, you know, I'm a superior. How can anybody be greater than Lord Shiva? He can control and destroy the entire... But that was the miracle of Maya. Very powerful. This is the power of, you know, materialistic association. You know, we see Bhishma became affected. You know, Vidura thought he was so contaminated, I have to go travel for 30 years before I even see Krishna. So, yeah. Yes, Prabhu, you had a... And then back there.
I really appreciate your class of citing so many examples from the Srimad Bhagavatam and dialogue from the translations. The comment about, when Vidura is talking to Dhritarashtra about the snake of time sneaking up to him.
Yeah.
Paraphrasing. I really appreciate it. I was watching in class. They have like some Discovery Channel videos, and like the python is silently sneaking up on the on the deer, who has no clue. Completely silent, they move, and then all of a sudden,
before you know it,
it clicks with what's said in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in our society, we have an illusion of safety. We've designed actually, it's very precarious in reality, but it appears as though it, you know, we're protected, so-called. But we can see in the world, and also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how that knowledge from the Srimad Bhagavatam clicks with the real world.
Yeah.
So
thank you for your input. Appreciate it. I had a hand over here. Okay.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. It was wonderful. Question that was asked by Bhrigupati, there's still another thing that can be added to what you said. And this is the nature of Leela. That's why all the personalities get bewildered, or they do things in a certain way. Like you say, it's not really Maya for those like Bhishma and great personalities like that. It's just Yoga Maya.
Exactly.
And that's the nature of Leela. And Yoga Maya is the she's in charge of arranging the Leela of Krishna for the benefit of everybody and for the display of the Leela in the material world. And that's why all these personalities get absorbed in this way. And they play the part that they're meant to play, but they're not necessarily aware that they're playing the part. It's just the nature how Yoga Maya works on the devotees, and different on the non-devotees is just illusion. It's just the material illusion, as you explained, the power of Mahamaya.
Yes.
So that's the other level of what you said.
Yeah, Krishna's performing a drama so that we can become advanced and see.
But, yes.
And learn. So also Krishna is the snake of time. But also Krishna, which we don't have time to describe, he explained to Dhritarashtra that he actually has rasa. There's taste, there's pleasure there. There's a spiritual world that has all kinds of varieties, and there's so much nice Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. So that's there too. So Any other comments, questions? Yes, Prabhu.
What Mataji, wonderful, you know, she said, my question is, Dhritarashtra was in Mahamaya, Yoga Maya, because I understand Bhishma Dev is a pure devotee of the Lord, and it can be understood that Bhishma Dev is in Yoga Maya, but Dhritarashtra was also in Yoga Maya or in Mahamaya?
I'm not sure, because it's a history about him. He had some karma coming to him from previous lives, because he asked, one sage or somebody asked, why did I lose my 100 sons? And there was some karma that he had. So it's a complicated thing, and it's all set up by Krishna arrangement. It's probably some Leela too, but I don't know, maybe someone else can answer that. Let Bhrigupati.
I think ultimately Mahamaya is a subordinate energy to Yogamaya.
Yeah.
I never hear Dhritarashtra portrayed as anything other than somebody who's misused his free will. So
yeah.
In Dhritarashtra's case, he was in Mahamaya, but even the activities of Mahamaya are ultimately under the jurisdiction of Yogamaya.
Yeah. I mean, he was one of the actors in this drama, so somehow or another he got in there. Yeah, so. Well, I think that's... one more? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you. Can you say anything related to Krishna's pastime? Any kind of person who's connected to Krishna's pastime? It's no more Maya. It's all Yoga Maya.
Yeah.
Because the activities are related to Krishna's pastimes.
Yeah.
So there's no more Maya there.
Okay. We got some...
Sorry, but can we say that Karna and Duryodhana were in Yoga Maya when they attempted to disrobe Draupadi? I mean, that's going a little too far. And Krishna is in that past. That they're very much associated with Krishna.
Yeah. Okay, let's set. We'll end with you, Mother.
Sorry.
One of the reasons is that in the Vedic scriptures, like in the Garga Samhita, there's other, you know, depictions of the whole thing, and they normally tell you what the devotees' previous lives were,
yes,
and how they went up to the point that they are in the Leela in this way,
yes.
And then even Kamsa is there, and he's a devotee in a certain way, and so then there is Vedically there is an explanation for all these things. And it's like a puzzle that everything fits in and makes an image. And everybody is under Krishna, and he's orchestrating this whole display. And, you know, sometimes there are devotees playing the part of people that are not non-devotees, apparently.
Yeah.
But they have to do something. Like you said, Dhritarashtra had done something that he had to go through this. And then that's why he's in the Leela in this particular way. So
yeah, it's
so
true.
Everything is under the orchestration of Yoga Maya and Krishna. Even Krishna, Yoga Maya, when he's in the Leela, he forgets his Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's what he wants. He wants to interact with the devotees in their personal relationship of love and affection, which is bhakti in the highest level. And he forgets, and he's even amazed of the arrangement of Yoga Maya. And of course he forgets and he doesn't forget, you know. He forgets for the time being for the particular Leela, and then he understands. So we can't even penetrate those things, you know.
Yeah, it takes an advanced devotee to see Krishna's hand in everything.
Yes.
And Vidura saw that, and other devotees can see that, but sometimes you need the association to help us see that happens. So this is Krishna. So thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to my Bhagavatam. Enjoy.